Welcome to The Whole View. I'm Stacey Toth of RealEverything.com. I'm all about loving the skin you're in and being healthy inside and out.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I believe that scientific literacy is the key to improving public health.
Welcome back to The Whole View, episode 426, whereby we are taking a minute to just catch our breath. The last few episodes have been quite dense, Sarah.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to catch up, but we also need to give our listeners a chance to catch up, because I know when I listen to podcasts and I expect them to be an hour and then they take longer than that, then I kind of get behind and out of my rhythm. So giving everybody a little break after those super wonderful, super long, super informative last few podcasts.
Yeah, I know when we finished recording last week, I found pulling together the research for last week's episode and then, you know, summarizing it, it was just so emotionally draining. I mean, I can imagine it was an emotionally draining episode to listen to as well. Like there wasn't a whole lot of rays of sunshine in that one. And so when we were sort of talking about like what topic to do next, I think we both went, hey, how about we grab one of those, do one of those check-in style shows where we have an opportunity to, talk about all these little things that, are hard to sort of fit into these really big meaty topics. And I love the idea of starting this episode with some feedback on some of our recent episodes, because we've gotten received, we've gotten is not good grammar. That is terrible. we have received some very lovely emails.
I'm shocked that you would be choosing to share positive feedback. I mean, we never do that.
Never. We never. It's definitely not the secret to getting your question on the show.
I do want to just take a minute. This is actually, this is going to become the soapbox show, I have a feeling. I feel like, I don't know, there was a part of me that like feels a little guilt when we do this. And then I'm reminding myself, and so I want to remind listeners, that it is super important to be aware of and to listen to the positive feedback that you get in your life. I think so many times we focus on the negative things we hear or that we think about ourselves, right? Like it's not even actually something you're getting from an outside source. Maybe you're just focusing on it because it's a personal belief that you have. And someone pointed out to me, I don't know how they figured this out, that I don't like my own Instagram photos, that I like post them, but I don't like them. And this person was like, well, how do you expect other people to like your photo if you don't even like your photo? And I was like, oh my gosh, like it really blew my brain that there was like this subtlety to supporting yourself and encouraging yourself and being positive. And so we joke about positive feedback being something that drives your questions. And while we love your positive feedback, it doesn't actually drive our show topics, as we've discussed on a dedicated show before about how we choose show topics. And I just want to thank everyone who sends the positive feedback in, because we know our number of downloads. We know how many of you are listening. And we don't hear from all of you, but if you continue to tune in, obviously you're feeling positive about it. So thank you for that. But even more so, when you send comments to us, when you post them, your positive reviews on whatever platform you're listening to us, and you engage in our social media in a meaningful way to help others find the show and be encouraged to spend their time. We all have such limited time. It means the world to us. And so part of this is us embracing and feeling good about what we're doing, which is a good thing and something no one needs to feel badly about, but also in acknowledging you all for taking the time to do that and helping us be encouraged to continue to do the work that we're doing. Like, I we can't thank you enough for that. And so part of this is reciprocal, and part of this is just, it's okay to take a moment to feel good about yourself. In fact, I would encourage it.
I'm going to take exactly that moment by reading Sophia's email that she sent in to us. She writes, "This is not an inquiry, but more of a comment for show 424. I love, love, love episodes like this one. I easily eat 30 or more various fruits and vegetables a week. The produce bill is very high and we have little to no waste. We eat and use all the vegetables. My main comment is, don't forget about sea vegetables like seaweed. I love tossing kombu, arame, wakame into soups and stews. I use sushi wrap, nori, like in a lettuce wrap around stir-fried zucchinis and baked fish. My husband is not as much a fan of seaweed as I am, but I still find ways to add it to my food after meal prep. Thanks again for your show. I've been listening for years and still love and appreciate every show."
Bomb. Sophia, dropping the mic. I'm sure there were hundreds of vegetables we didn't include. I mean, I went back later to document my food and found things, but the category of sea vegetables is such a good one. And as our listeners might remember, I love to add sea vegetable as a sea salt on top of my food. Mm-hmm. So I'm all in with Sophia. Fist bumps and high fives.
Yeah, we have like one of our staples in the house is like sea snack, the various, like every flavor of sea snacks. For us, seaweed is like, I feel like something salty, like snack food. Like it's just one of the go-to things in the pantry at all times. So, I feel kind of embarrassed for missing sea vegetables. But as you said, Stacey, I mean, that the great thing about that show was we could miss tons of different fruits and vegetables that are easy to find in chain grocery stores. And we still were able to list, I think it was like 75 or 80 different fruits and vegetables by the end of it. Like when you pulled them together, I think if you go back to the show notes, the whole list of all the different fruits and vegetables we talked about are actually, in the show notes. So that was kind of a fun, I'm very given that that episode was inspired by the, reaction to one of my social media posts about eating more diversity. It was very, very wonderful to see that the show had my intended message of it's okay. It like you got this. You can do it. It's not that scary. And so I'm really glad to see that that was what people got out of it.
I got so many comments from people saying that sounded ridiculous and they couldn't believe that number when they first saw it. And then they counted up just from their previous week, which let's be real, you're probably forgetting some things. And we're in the high 20s as well, which is kind of where I landed, just naturally, as you know, unintentionally when I went back and looked. And then the last 2 weeks, went with intention and counting ahead of time. And I have been over 30 each week. Like I counted it up as time was going on. So 1 week, Sarah, you would have been so proud of me. I went to the farmer's market and they had like a bajillion mushrooms. It was, I don't know, it's mushroom season, I guess. And we made a mushroom soup that was so good. And I basically had a bowl every day and it had 5 or 6 different kinds of mushrooms in it. So I thought of you every time I had that and all the varieties soup of mushrooms in there. But I also have been, as a result of people talking about this being something they want to do and feeling overwhelmed with picky eaters or not having a lot of time or not even knowing where to start. I actually did a blog post yesterday sharing our meal plan. So if you're interested and you're trying to get to that 30, I literally outlined every dinner our family ate over the past 2 weeks, including links to recipes to show how you can get to 30 plus varieties of fruits and vegetables with essentially just dinner alone. It got us to like 26, 27 in those 2 weeks. And that wasn't including like breakfast, lunch, fruit snacks, seaweed snacks, whatever you're going to eat. Right. So if you want to feel more inspired, if you want to, you know, figure out things that you could add to your own family's menu, I did post about that because I heard from so many people. I know you heard from so many people. And I think it's one of those things that we can feel really good about, right? Like no one disputes how good vegetables are. And we've talked about it so many times on the show, but feeling like I can do that, feeling like, okay, this is something I can control. This is something tangible. Let me go at it. So thank you, Sophia, for adding yet another thing that someone can do to add to that number on the list.
So we also got an email from Ashley, and this was about episode 421. And Ashley wrote, I just wanted to write and say thank you for using they, them pronouns so easily when talking about Dr. Lindo Bacon on your most recent episode. I have a transgender child, and it means so much to me to hear how inclusive your speech was. You ladies are simply amazing all around. Thank you for everything you do.
This is very kind, but I do feel like that needs to be the expectation. Like, I feel like this is one of those things where I'm like, well, of course, like, isn't that the bar? Like, you know, I actually want to point out, like, Sarah, in your research, when you found Dr. Lindo Bacon, it was something you were very passionately about. And we talked about in the show notes, like, we need to be this is important. And it mattered to me that it was so important to you and that I work with someone who cares and is thoughtful like that. And I feel like that is the intent with our show, to care about the health and wellness of everyone. And if we're not being respectful of certain groups of people, how can we expect them to be well?
Yeah, I, you know, when I was digging into Dr. Lindo Bacon's work and saw that their pronouns were they, them, there in their about page, I made sure to put in a note in our outline, just because I feel like, you know, we've talked about on this show many times about respect and listening to others. And I feel like it's a basic form of respect and acknowledging another human being to use the pronouns that they associate with, that they identify with. And so I'm glad that was meaningful for Ashley. But again, like, as you said, Stacey, I think at this point, I know for a lot of people, it requires intent to use pronouns outside of the binary gender pronouns. And I know that it requires some effort, but I think that's effort that's really important, because it is acknowledging the identity of that person. And it's showing, it's a very basic way to show respect. And so I do want to sort of encourage all of our listeners to be pronoun aware, right? To be gender identity aware. I think that is a really important thing to be able to be inclusive in our society. And it's something that I've tried very hard to teach my children. We've had many conversations, about sexual orientation as well as gender identity. And I mean, I'm fairly confident that my children are cisgendered heterosexuals, but I think it's really important for them to understand that, just because that is, again, we're sort of talking about the difference between average and normal, right? Just because it's more common does not mean it is the only thing that's normal or the only thing, right? So I think that's something that we've had a lot of conversations with in our household, and it's been part of also our advocacy for the Black Lives Matter movement, has also been advocacy for all marginalized groups, including the LGBTQ+ community. So I'm glad that was meaningful for Ashley. But again, I like you, Stacey, I think this is something that we can all put some effort into.
And if we make a mistake, if we say the wrong thing, it's okay to acknowledge that and correct or apologize, right? Like, that is the respect that we would want if someone referred to us in the wrong way, and we can impart that upon others. So one of the things that I've noticed with my kids is how frequently people in their lives ask them if they have a girlfriend, because I have boys, and I actually will say, you're assuming that they're interested in girls. Have you asked them that? And like, the person will, you know, the look on their face, and I'm like, I mean, they could be, they could not be. I don't know. You're making an assumption. Did you ask? And most people are kind of like, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was making that assumption, right? And it doesn't mean they're a bad person or whatever, you know. It's just, I think that there are things that we can do and be aware of to be kind and help those around us live their emotional well-being, best, healthy life. And while a lot of that comes in the form of what we talk about on the show, nutrient density and lifestyle, there's also a huge emotional impact when it comes to stress and emotional health that we cannot forget, because it really does impact health and wellness. So I appreciate Ashley acknowledging and reaching out, but I also appreciate, Sarah, that this is something that you and I have incorporated, and part of why it was important for us to be the whole view, right?
All right, one last comment, and this is from Donna, and it was regarding episode 419. And Donna starts, I do not enjoy listening to podcasts at all, so I never do it. However, this topic interested me enough, so I made myself listen to it. Now I am hooked, truly hooked. What an excellent podcast. Next, I listened to one on Amber Glasses, and now I'm on to my third podcast. The whole view is excellent. Tonight, I'm going to check out the Amber Glasses recommendation to help with my rather severe insomnia, and I sat in front of my light box today. I bought this thing months ago and had yet to take it out of the box until I listened to the podcast. Suffice it to say that the podcasts are very motivating and educational. On top of that, they're also quite enjoyable.
Oh, Donna. I'm so, like, I got a little flushed in the face, and I don't know, that one got to me. Thank you. That was so kind and nice. And
I mean, we turned a non-podcast listener into a podcast listener. That's like, oh, that's a win.
That's a special, special little moment there. Okay. I'm verklempt. How are you doing? For checking in. How's it going?
Yeah, checking in. I feel like this is the thing about 2020 is that it really seems to require pretty continuous adaptation. And in all honesty, some days that rolling with the punches is easier than others. And so, you know, I've slept well the last couple of nights. I'm feeling pretty good right now. But I can tell you that I've had some pretty gloomy storm clouds above my head all day, days lately. And I think one of the things that's been really helpful for me is that I'm my puppy is now at a phase where I can actually get closer to like normal work days in without, she's getting actually good at hanging out, which is wonderful. Doesn't require undivided attention at all waking hours. And so, I've been able to like dig into, some big projects a little bit more. And that has actually been really helpful too, because I think part of the challenge for me over the last 5.5 months that we've had the puppy during a pandemic with all of the other things happening in the world right now, has been the part of my brain that absolutely loves doing research and loves writing and just like, you know, the reason why I do this is because it is like feeding my brain. My brain is happiest when I get to do that kind of work. And so, I've kind of missed, I've missed really being able to dig into new information. And so what I'm doing now, so as an update on the gut microbiome books, our listeners probably know this, but I'll summarize in case it got missed. The pandemic ended up putting a giant pause button on my plans for publication of the gut microbiome book. And so what I decided to do was, I was sort of like racing towards the finish line to wrap up some of the remaining topics. What I decided to do was take all of this like huge amount of information and put it into two ebooks. So the Gut Health Guidebook and the Gut Health Cookbook. And really, once I realized that we were talking about maybe a year and a half or even 2 years now before publication, whereas I thought that these books were going to come out in 2020, earlier this year, I didn't want everyone to have to wait for this information. There's just been so much really important research that I've uncovered in this deep dive into the gut microbiome research. And we've talked about a ton of it on this show, but it was really important to sort of package it up in that very methodical way, in book format, right? There's that long format of communication is very different than a blog post or a social media post or a podcast, which I consider all of these to be short format, right? So a podcast is a little bit better than a blog post, right? I can go through about the same amount as blog post versus podcast. And obviously those I can go through more than a social media post, but it still has, it can't hold a candle to the depth that I can get into in long format, which is books. And so, or I guess online courses would also be another sort of long format type educational resource. And so I basically dropped everything to completely like reorganize the books to make them make sense in ebook format, and pull together, the missing pieces that I still hadn't gotten to be able to complete it's basically all of the diet and lifestyle stuff from the future imprint books. And so what I'm doing now is I'm getting back to, what I was doing the beginning of this year of wrapping up these last topics. So the things that are coming in the imprint books that are not in the ebooks are like discussions on supplements, drugs, environmental exposures, plastics and things like that. There's a much more in-depth chapter on how the gut microbiome influences the gut barrier and the gut immune system. And then there's a very in-depth chapter linking specific strains of bacteria to various to basically every chronic illness. And so there's, they are expanded, right? So the imprint books will be bigger, even though the ebooks are, I know they're enormous. The Gut Health Guidebook is over 300 pages and the Gut Health Cookbook is over 400 pages. So they're huge for ebooks. So what I'm doing now is I'm going back to wrapping up these last few topics, and that it's really nice, especially now that I'm doing this without a deadline. Also feels like lower stress, which is good. And hopefully, I'll keep everybody updated. But the next step once these are wrapped up is shopping them around and developing a new plan for publication. So that's the big thing I'm working on. And then I'm also preparing the next AIP lecture series, which is going to start January 18th. When this episode goes live, the cart will be open and there will be early bird pricing until November 1st, 2020, in case you're listening to this at some other time. I think again, my plan right now is again to only teach one session next year, like I did this year. So if you missed out on the 2020 session, this is your chance for 2021. And I am offering diversity and inclusion scholarships this year. So those are to BIPOC, LGBTQ+, and people with disabilities. So so the information on the scholarships is right on the main landing page for the course. So you can find that just by going to my website and scrolling down to the education section.
I thank you. I was going to say, I don't know what I was going to say, but I appreciate taking the things that we've learned and applying it to your business practices, and I'm very inspired, honestly. Good. Like, I don't need to like praise you for doing really what we need to be doing anyway, but I'm like, oh, Sarah, good job implementing change when that's what we need.
2020, that's the theme of this year.
Remember, let's learn from our hardships.
No, I mean, again, I think this is a year about adaptation, but it's, for me, it feels good to be back on the longer, like the trajectory that I felt like I started this year with, which was like, oh, I've got this going and this going and this going, and they're going to happen in this order, right? Like I'm a planner. I'm sure our listeners are shocked. But I plan, and I, you know, I have my 2 month plan and my 1 year plan and my 5 year plan and my 20 year plan, right? Like I tend to map things out, and that doesn't mean that it's not fluid and it can't shift in response to things. It's just feels like 2020 has been a lot more adjustment than following the trajectory. So it feels good to be, entering back into a phase, especially with, you know, there's no travels, there's no conferences coming up, and those tend to always, it's not just the prep for the event, but it's the recovery afterwards. So it's, you know, they tend to like punctuate my year by putting a big pause on everything that I have that I, you know, like I've got big things that I want to accomplish from a health education perspective, right? So getting this gut microbiome information to permeate health conscious communities, I think is so, so important because it's so relevant to how all of us are making our day-to-day choices. And so it feels good to feel like I'm back on the previously mapped out trajectory, even if it, you know, think of like a parabola and how something would normally follow, right? This is diving into physics nerd, but just hang on. It feels like things just went jaggedy, tangled mess all over the place for most of this year. And it feels good to have like found that initial track again. And I don't know how long staying on this track will last. I am ready to adapt to the next curveball thrown my way. But it feels good to be like, okay, like here's how my year started and I'm back here. And in the meantime, I was able to create, a really in-depth, resource to be able to get this information out. So, the gut health guidebooks, they're epic. They're by far the biggest ebooks I've ever created. And I'm really, they've had just tremendous feedback. So I'm really, really proud of how they came together. And now it's just a question of like getting that, rounding out that information and then getting it into even more people's brains.
I love that your tangent was like a physics nerd out and mine was like a self-love soapbox. I think it really speaks volumes to our personalities.
I said parabola.
Yeah.
So that's my how's life. How's your life? How's all the things going for you these days?
If you could see my face, I'm like scratching my head and bunching my eyeballs. And, you know, when we talked about our COVID updates last week, I think I mentioned like this, you know, roller coaster of emotional frustration we're all feeling with the realization that this is not ending anytime soon, which I actually knew before the kids went back to school that like it would be throughout the school year. Like, you know, people were talking about them going back right before or after the holidays or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's not happening. that's not happening. You know, to see the cases rise in the country right now is only more pointing that out to me, right? Like what I knew was coming, but I really didn't want to admit was coming. And I, you know, I am home with the kids. Have I said this before enough yet? That like I have not been the primary caretaker for my children for their entire lives, short of my maternity leave, that my husband was a stay-at-home dad. And it has been a journey that now the roles he filled, like making dinner, are something that we're navigating together, and that, you know, I have a full-time job that I need to do during the day, but I'm also a virtual teacher, and he's not here to help most of the time. And so I'm still adjusting to that. I'm still, I don't know if I'm not accepting change. I don't know what's happening in terms of like the grief
cycle. It's so much change. It's so much change that we're being like, I think, we all miss normal. But it's not just that. It's in order to not just put everything, like, I mean, we can't just put our entire lives on pause, right? Like things need to keep going. And in order to do that, there's so much adjustment that needs to happen. So I'm going to say it's not resistance to change. It's just, it's so much change. It's so much adaptation that it's a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us to, just to kind of give a foster update, taking on the training process, the paperwork, becoming foster parents, and then bringing a kiddo into the home for about 3 months, and then the process of someone you're attached to leaving your home, all of those things are in and of themselves huge change, let alone amidst our family dynamics that have changed in terms of like Matt working and me at home, as well as like a global pandemic. You know, just even the little things of like meal planning was different with another kiddo in the house, because this is someone who is, you know, a teenager who has not grown up eating the same things that my kids have grown up eating. And like, how do we manage that? And, anyway, so, kiddo is, as I just mentioned, no longer, with us. We said goodbye a few weeks ago, and I really took some time with the family, after that to kind of get back, because I realized one of the things that I needed to learn from that lesson was not just focusing so much on the kiddo. I know for me personally, I had a desire to help kiddo acclimate and be successful as much as possible, which is obviously very important. But I think I also missed that critical element of spending time with all the kids one-on-one the way I've always done, and needing to do a better job of that. And so there was some catch-up and processing we all needed to do as far as that being a life-changing experience. Like it, and that's what I wanted out of fostering. I want to continue to help more children and to help my children understand the privilege that we have and the love that we share is not, it is special, right? It is, it is something to be treasured, and it is something to recognize as a gift that we get to spend time together, that we have safety, that we have security, that we have all the things that are really truly important in life, and that we can try to give that and share with others. And so a lot of my time over the past month has been really processing all that. And, you know, even something as simple as like we were sitting at dinner last night and we were eating something that kiddo would not have been a fan of. We were having clams with spaghetti squash as like, you know, linguine clam pasta. And Cole is not a huge fan of squash. Like, it's just not his favorite vegetable. And we don't intentionally buy it because we know it's not his favorite. But at the same time, like, squash is a huge category of vegetables. And sometimes, you know, we eat things that aren't your favorite. And my kids just know that that's the case. And we're respectful of the fact that it's not his favorite. And he needs to be respectful of the fact that sometimes that's what we get in our CSA box and we're going to eat it. And so we were kind of talking about how we thought kiddo would have reacted and, you know, how Cole is able to recognize that it's what a luxury that we have, that we get to make a healthy homemade meal and that we all get to sit together at the table and eat it. And like just that in and of itself is something that we need to appreciate. And so I think, you know, when I get caught up in all of the change and the stress of the world, I try to come back to the things that I can control, the things that I can appreciate and the things that I want to impart upon my children to appreciate, you know, finding common ground with people, looking for the positives, not assuming the worst, being solution oriented. Like all of these things are lessons that we incorporate into every aspect of our life, including, you know, from the dinner that's on the table to larger things like bringing a foster kid into our home. So, I would say things are going well, relatively. You know what I mean? Like, I feel good about what's happening, but it's also not easy. You know, it's hard emotional work, and that's a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't feel like we're doing our job as parents if our kids come out of a global pandemic without, like, having some sort of emotional change and reaction, right? Like, what can we do? What can the next generation do to better the planet and to learn a lesson from what we've gone through so that their children might not have the same impact that they experienced? And those are just my guiding feelings these days. So speaking of positive things, like switching gears. I mentioned trying to focus on the positive. One of the things that I do want to update everybody of, when we recorded the non-toxic, safer, cosmetic California bill podcast, I don't even remember what we called it. It was just a few shows ago when I talked about those bills being on the governor's desk and having just waiting to be executed and put into action. I do want to let everyone know that that has happened, that California is changing the course of the trajectory of the products in our country. And I just, I actively try to not make our podcast a commercial for the work that I do. But I do want to just say that, you know, it is absolutely because of the work that Beauty Counter did to lobby California that that went into place. Would it have happened without them? Maybe. But I do know that both from, you know, anyone who's supported me through that measure or who's texted or written or called or visited their legislatures to make it happen, I just want to thank you because it will change the country. Like it is incredible. And we talked about that not happening until 2021 for disclosure. And I think it was 2025 for formulation changes. Mm-hmm. But imagine how much safer like the next generation of children will be with formulas from the time that they're a baby that won't have some of these known carcinogens and hormone disrupting chemicals and all the different things that we talked about on that podcast. So I want to thank everyone for that support. It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it's a really great time to talk to the people in your life about how these things matter. And there's lots of safer options. We've talked about them on the show. It's just the reason that I have made Beauty Counter my business is because it is the mission of putting safer products into the hands of everyone. Like, to me, that is the most essential. It's not just those who have access or, you know, who can make those choices financially, or with that knowledge that they have, which not everybody in this country is aware of or has the means to access. And so making these changes through the laws and regulation are how we really can make a difference and change everybody's life. So I just want to thank our listeners for that support and, you know, just keep going, because it was just in California, and hopefully we'll see changes across the country. But I'm sure that there will be some countries or some companies that make exception and try to have a different formula for the rest of the country than California, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So we just need to keep doing the work. But overall positive for sure.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, I think that wraps up this sort of check-in style show from us. I know that we've got a really good list of some really interesting questions to dig into for future episodes. But it was, I want to sort of thank our listeners for indulging us with letting us do these occasional shows where we get to just give some updates on our projects and our lives and, you know, talk about current events and take a bit of a brain break this week so we can be back refreshed and ready to tackle something cool. We'll have something really cool next week.
I'm not sure if this is allowed. Sarah, you might make Matt delete this later.
Okay. Ready.
So I have gotten many, many questions, and I want to assure our listeners that it is on our list to talk about collagen. Like, we're already doing the research on helping you understand what to look for in quality collagens that we would recommend without like going into brands and all that kind of stuff to teach you how to read labels and to learn more.
Yeah, Stacey, I'm going to, so I actually have been doing nothing but researching collagen for the last 3 days.
I assure you listeners, it's happening. Like, stop sending me emails.
I am actually working on a blog post, because the blog post podcast topic combo works really well for me in terms of organizing the information and my thoughts. We can do that. I did not realize how collagen peptides are actually extracted and produced. So it's going to be a fun episode. And then we'll all change products. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, great.
Super, I know.
It's super jazzed about that.
I was going to say, I have a whole separate window open with about 15 different tabs of all collagen papers. And then also, I think I have like 6 papers open in Adobe Acrobat, and I have a Word document. Like, this is on my desktop right now. This is literally what I'm working on. It's very interesting how big this industry is, and how reading labels is not necessarily, there's a lot going on in the production that is not being disclosed on labels. So let's talk. Yes, that is on the to-do list for a upcoming episode. Let me finish the research first. There's still more for me to learn.
Now I'm thinking I want to take that off the docket and just live in my
bubble.
So here's the thing, is we promise you that we will share information that's driven by science, even when it is not necessarily what we want to hear or even what we might have mentioned before. And it sounds like this is going to be one of those. So look forward to a science-rich show on that when it is all pulled together. But I just wanted to, I mean, I have gotten so many requests for us to cover that.
I have two, which is why I started digging into the research on it. And again, like that's all I've worked on for the last 3 days. And it's to do, you know, to just give our listeners a sort of window into those really in-depth science blog posts that I write tend to be anywhere between like 20 and 40 hours of like research and writing that goes into them. They, you know, it takes me a long time to really, you know, I'm trying to dig into the full body of scientific literature and really represent it as objectively as possible. And so depending on what else I'm trying to balance in a week, you know, I also, right, like, as I mentioned, I'm also trying to carve out time for, getting back into the gut microbiome books and preparing the next session of the AIP lecture series. So, probably I'm I don't know if we can do this next week is what I'm trying to say. This is, you know, I want to make sure that my research is really complete so that as we dig into it, I have the full picture to give you. So, I often will have two or three topics like this kind of percolating at any one time. But right now I'm very focused. The stuff that I just uncovered day before yesterday, it really changed my my perspective on certain collagen products, and I think that's going to be really important information to share with our listeners. But again, I need probably at least 2 weeks to actually finish that research.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do it right, as I'm sure our listeners are. I just wanted to kind of give everybody an update that we hear you, we're aware, we're working on it. And I also want to remind our listeners that if you are interested in more shows like this, where you kind of hear more from us in a natural, chatty sort of way, that we do a follow-up to each show now over on Patreon, where we give it to you the real. We talk about what we really thought after each show. And so you can subscribe to Patreon for a very low monthly fee to get access to each of those shows. And now that it's weekly, you could essentially just pop over after listening to this show to listening to the next one. That's the follow on to it. So we should be, I say the word should intentionally, caught up by the time this show goes live, so that you can hear the follow-up to all that.
The unfiltered, what we really think bonus audio.
Yes. I'm not the expert on how people do that, though. Sarah, do you know how people do that?
So if you go to patreon.com/thewholeview, Patreon is spelled patreon.com/thewholeview, you'll have basically a landing page that has a join button. You click to join, you go through, you fill out the forms, and then you get basically to, it's like a social media page, ish that is, you know, you'll see our pretty pictures, the logo for the podcast. And then now we're posting the video. It's basically like on a, like, it'd be kind of like the equivalent of like a Facebook page. It's in like a main sort of feed, and then you can click and listen to it right in there. So basically you're going through a web browser and you can listen right in logged in with Patreon. And then after that, when you log in, you might want to, you know, Patreon is a great way to help support lots of creatives. So you can go into your account and you can see all of the different creatives that you support, and then to basically like click on their page. You can send us messages in there. You can submit questions to the podcast in there. So there's a way to message privately or comment publicly on any one of our posts in there. So it's a great way to get bonus audio content, but also a great way to get questions in front of us really quickly too.
I I'm glad that you mentioned it's a great way to support a whole bunch of creatives, because I do know that there's a particular YouTuber that the boys wanted to support who does creative electronic builds, and like we're Patreon members for him, and then I know Matt's Patreon member for like a dozen different podcasts that he listens to and supports. And I love the idea of being supportive of the people that you listen to, because it does allow us to have shows where we don't necessarily have a sponsor, because as our listeners know, we only choose sponsors that we genuinely use and recommend, and so that will always continue. But this is a way to support us even when there aren't ads and stuff like that. So plus it's our fam. If you feel like we're besties and you just, you know, love the banter and it gives you the warm fuzzies, that's what you're going to get over there, because it's who we are. It's what we really think. And it's
the warm fuzzies with a few F-bombs thrown in.
Sarah's occasionally cursing, though. It's quite, you know, actually,
I have a favorite new one to share in Patreon room.
I only think there is one episode where you didn't, because anyway, you'll have to go listen to find out more. Thank you for being here. Thank you for always being supportive and tuning in and giving us positive feedback and all of the wonderful warm fuzzies that we get from you. I can't thank you enough. And genuinely from our hearts, as we try to do our best stumbling through 2020 with you. Thank you so much. And we'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening. Do you love the Whole View podcast? We'd love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen and share a podcast with your friends and family.
And did you know that you can now get exclusive behind-the-scenes content on Patreon for less than the price of an almond milk matcha a month? Your Patreon membership supports us and gets you access to a monthly bonus episode.
But not for kids' ears, because our bonus content is explicit. You can find us as The Whole View on Patreon for our real, unfiltered thoughts on this week's episode.